And sometimes the way it makes you rest is not a way that you and I would desire. You know, we don't want to see ourselves down, and we don't want to see ourselves in a situation where we in a hospital bed. Oh, come on, somebody. Your body will take rest if you don't take rest. Your body will take rest if you do not take rest. So we want to make sure that we take the proper rest. Why? Rest is important, because rest, what it does is it repairs. It builds us. Oh, come on. I know some of y'all like to rest a little bit more than others, but it builds. It gives the body a chance to recover. You know, these bodies that we're in right now, this is just it's a finite flesh, meaning that it has a limitation. It does have an expiration date. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to speed my expiration date up. Excuse me. I don't want to speed my expiration date up. I want to be here as long as God wants me to be here, and not be here because I've done some things to neglect what he's told me to do. Yeah, I've done some things to neglect where he told me to go. I neglected what he told me to say. And we find ourselves in a place of disarray and in a point where we don't get rest. Amen. So as we go forth this month, this will be message number one out of four as we talk about rest. Well, Pastor, let me get all the preliminaries out of the way so we can go forward. Amen. So I also want to remind you, as this month is the month of rest, amen, that on Monday nights, we have the women's group, the Women at the Well. Every single Monday night, the Women at the Well is a private space. Yes, a private space in the day of online social media. We have a private space that that all our ladies go to, and they get in there and they have a good time, you know, and they're planning things and stuff is going forward. So I definitely want to encourage you to come out and see the Women at the Well. I'm looking for my slide, my new glasses here. It's not going, I can't see that well. I don't know if that's the slide or not. Anyway, we'll see. Hope it ain't. Oh, there it is. Yes, Women at the Well. How do you get a part? Glad you asked. All you gotta do is go to our website. That is Safe House Church, gso.com/women. That group is led by Sister Pam, who's been such a blessing to the Safe House Church. Amen. But the Bible, you know, talks about the older women teaching the younger women. Amen. And we're just so grateful, you know, to have God has been blessing us with laborers and people who have been seasoning him, who've been through a couple of things, who've lived life. You know, it's kind of hard for you to tell somebody else what to do if you've never been through it. We can talk about theory and all this stuff, and me being a professor by trade, I understand theory, but theory without application sometimes doesn't mean much. Theory without application, it's a nice thing. It sounds nice, but what does it look like in real life? And I'm just so grateful that God has blessed us with such a tremendous woman of God to lead that group, who has a heart for it. Amen. It's just not doing it because the pastor asked her to do it. In fact, she came to me and God had already just confirmed that in me. And I said, go forth, sister. Amen. And we're going to support you. So here, with that being said, here at the Safe House, we work off three principles. We work off discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. We call it DEA. Right? Discipleship. Why? Because we walk into the space and we help you in that space, and we help you to grow and learn the things of God. Empowerment. We empower members here. That God is what put us in position to say, okay, now it's time for you to go forth. Use your gift. You're not going to find this a place that you're going to come in and you're going to sit down on your hands. But if God is giving you a gift, and I know he has, because he's given each and every one of us one, that we're going to put you to work. We're going to let you use your gift, exercise the gift. This is how it gets better. This is how you get better. This is how you work those things out. The Bible says it like that. He said, work out your soul salvation, right? How are you going to work it if you didn't get a chance to use it? I know some of you used to go in places where you just sit down and you don't have to do anything. And you just sit there and you just eat. No. You know, the Bible says and I'm paraphrasing this, that not only do you eat, but you also have to serve. See, a lot of us just want to go to the buffet, but some of us don't want to work. Amen. You know, so that's why the Bible says that, you know, the laborers are few, but that's going to change. Amen. And then the last piece is accountability, because you're doing all of this work and you're doing these things. We have to be careful to make sure that we hold each other accountable for our actions and the things that we do, right? Because I don't just own this space. You just don't own this space. But what? It is work. And what? It's about integrity, us working in integrity. So, yes, I'm accountable to God's people. God's people are accountable to me. We're accountable to each other. We carry each other's burdens. Amen. For this is what, you know, the Bible tells us we ought to do. So we do work in accountability. All right. So I told you this whole month I wanted to talk about you on this series of rest. And I want to go ahead and we're going to go and we're going to dig a little bit, amen. And I got some things I want to talk to you about. So let's talk about rest. Hallelujah. So rest. So rest. Rest standing for this. Rest this month is our acronym for me. Rest. And I want you to write this down. Those who are taking notes, put in the chat this for me. Rest simply stands for this. Reflecting, effort, still trusting. I'm reflecting on effort, but I'm still trusting. R-E-S-T. For the next 4 Sundays, we'll be working through this. Reflecting, effort, still trusting. Put that in the chat for me. Would y'all put those in the chat for me? Rest stands for this. For the next 4 weeks, we'll be talking about rest. And rest for the month of June for the Safe House purposes stands for this. Rest stands for reflecting, effort, and still trusting. Reflecting, effort, and still trusting. Would you put that in the chat for me on this morning? Reflecting, effort, and still trusting. There we go. There we go. Now they're coming in. Reflecting, effort, and still trusting. So I don't know about you, and I think about rest. You know, I'm one of those ones. Rest, I used to laugh at the face of rest. I used to say something that was so naive and for lack of a better word, just stupid. I'll say rest. I rest long enough when I'm dead. And you know, when I think about it, I say that with tongue in cheek, and I say that kind of cliche, like as a cliche, but you know, I said, well, I'll be, you know, I want to work and do the things I can do now because I will be resting long enough when I'm gone. And sometimes, you know, sometimes in your youth and in your ignorance, sometimes you don't realize what you're actually saying. And rest is important. Why? Because rest is a chance for the body to repair itself. We know we live in a life and a day and a time that we go through so much and we find ourselves in so many different things. And even though many of us have been home for almost, 18 months now or longer, we've not gotten rest. We've not gotten rest. Why? Because we've been worried about this and worried about the job and worried about how this is going to go. And every time we walk out, got to make sure we got the mask on and make sure I wash my hands 25 times that day. And, you know, and I can't connect with people the way I've normally been connecting with them because I can't touch them because, you know, I might be spreading the virus and I don't want to get sick. I don't want to get my loved ones sick. There's a lot of responsibility that's been given here in the last 18 months that we've seen on a completely different level. There's been a lot that's been going on, and here we don't find rest. You go to bed and you didn't sleep well, and just because you went to bed didn't mean that you rested. Oh, come on, somebody. That just because you went to bed didn't mean that you actually rested. And you find other individuals who find themselves, they have to take something to go to sleep and they have to take something to get up, amen. And then sometimes you find yourself in categories where your mind is not stopping and your mind is just continually going. And then you're at a point that you're working in your sleep. Oh, come on, somebody. How many of you have been there before? That you work in your sleep and it's feeling like you just never, ever, ever get enough. You never, ever get enough of rest. Well, this month I want to explore with you, brothers and sisters, and I want to go through and I want to try to carve this and go piece by piece and give you what I believe God has given me to share with you to look at rest as we look at what? Reimagining God in our space and reimagining God in our lives. Reimagine God in this space and reimagine God in our lives. So would you take with me today, Matthew, we got a couple of scriptures we're going to go through. I'm going to go to Matthew 11 and 28. Matthew 11 and 28. I'm going to share screen with you. I'm going to give you opportunity to get that. Matthew 11 and 28. Also, while you get that, put a thumb or a finger in that, as we used to say in the old school, but I know you all have electronic Bibles now, so maybe you can electronically bookmark it. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. Then we want to go to Matthew 16 and 2. Matthew 16 and 2. Amen. So glad to see so many of us, of you joining us from online. I'm just so grateful. So, you know, we have the Zoom and we have the Facebook Live and YouTube all going on at the same time, various platforms. All right. And thank you, Sister Sherelle, for putting those in there. And then lastly, not least, I want to give you Galatians 5 and 1. Galatians 5 and 1. I'm going to try to take my time on this morning because I want to make sure that this lands the way that it needs to land, so that you can walk in this truth that I believe God has given us, so that you can get rest. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, we just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this tremendous time, Lord, that we had in worship this morning. Lord, we thank you for the release, Lord, that you've given us in worship this morning. Lord, we just praise your name, Lord, for these people, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for even keeping us, Lord, through this pandemic. Lord, we thank you for taking us up and down the dangerous highways. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us through our various activities and hobbies and things that we do. Lord, I ask that you continue to watch and keep your people, Lord, for they're looking for rest, oh God. Lord, some are sleeping, but they're not resting, Lord. Some are sitting down, but they're not resting, oh God. Lord, some have taken time off, Lord, but they're not resting, oh God. They need a vacation from the vacation, oh God. But Lord, Jesus, Lord, you allow your divine rest, Lord Jesus, to sit upon each and every one of them, oh God. As we go through these series, Lord, of messages, oh God, that I believe you've given me, oh God, to share with your people, Lord, let them find rest, oh God, in reflecting, oh God. Let them find rest in reflecting, Lord Jesus, on you, Lord Jesus, on the efforts that they have had, Lord Jesus, while still trusting in you. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name. We ask you to do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. All right, brothers and sisters, would you turn with me first? Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 11 and 28. Let me see if I can get a screen share here with you on that. Hey, amen. I should have it set up. We should be good to go. We'll see. All right. So moving good here. All right, 11 and 28. Matthew 11, 28. There it is on your screen. And you can read along with me. And it says this: Come unto me, all ye that labor. Labor meaning that what? You were working. Now, everybody's not working. You know, you have some who want to rest and ain't done nothing. You want to get rest after what? Labor. Mm-hmm. Said, all ye that labor and are what? Heavy laden, meaning that what? The work has been heavy. What you're carrying is heavy. And I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Keeping God first. First things first. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Not just you, but everybody's souls with an S. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know how many of you remember a couple of years ago, they had these little buttons, the Staples had this thing called the Easy Button. And, you know, and when you do a task, you would go hit that button and it would say, that was easy. You know, the Bible, he tells us right here, said, if you take his yoke, all you got to do is press the easy button and say, that was easy. Would you say with me this morning, that was easy? Type that in the yoke. Type that in. Easy button. Easy button. If you have his yoke, that means you have an easy button in your presence. Oh, come on, somebody. If you have taken his yoke, type that in the easy button. Easy button. There's an easy button in your presence, and you need to press it from time to time. And what? My burdens is light. Not only do you have the easy button, but the burden is light. The burden is light. Let's go on over to the next. Here, I want to read Corinthians 6 and 14. It says this: Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Here's that word yoke again. Yoke. We're going to talk about yoke. You know, yolk, this is not your egg yolk. Egg yolk, that'd be an L in there. Y-O-L-K. Don't get me to spell it. Y'all know I'm a mathematician, not a speller. Amen. All right. So that yoke. He said, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship haveth righteousness with unrighteousness? All right. What fellowship is righteousness with unrighteousness? I know you've heard this verse before. And what communion haveth light with darkness? There is no communion. There's no shade. Either it's dark or it's light. There's no in between. Mm-hmm. All right. And then let's go on over to Matthew. Matthew 16 and 24. I'm going to put all this together for you. But this is not Bible class. I know Bible class, I get a lot of verses because I want you to be able to go back and read them yourself. But this is not a Bible class today. I'm going to preach this for you. He said, for whosoever will save his life. Oh, no, sorry. 16. 24, I'm sorry. And then he said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Type in the chat, lost and found. If you would put in lost and found. See, the reason I ask you all to do these things, number one, is engagement, right? It's just like being in the classroom for me. It's like being a teacher. I got to make sure that you engage. Because if you're just talking to me and you're just playing in the background, then it's just like radio music. Then the other thing is this, that others come on and you want them to see others of the engagement of what God was seeing and what was being done at that particular point in time. All right, and then last but not least, Galatians 5, and it says this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Liberty being what? Freedom. Stand, therefore, in liberty with wherewith Christ hath made us free. Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again. It's happened before. With what? The yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage. Somebody, y'all type in the chat. Would you type in the chat for me? Yoke. So we're starting to see here, there's been a theme here that I've been reading. I read you four different verses here. We went through Matthew 11 and then 2 Corinthians 6, then Matthew 16, and then Galatians 5. And each one of these verses was tied to this theme of yoke. This tied to this theme of yoke, that this yoke. If I were used for a subject today, I want to talk about rest as reflection. Look back for a push forward. Rest as a reflection. So think about rest, number one, as a reflection. Looking back for a push forward. So what do you mean by this thing, yoke, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad that you've been inquiring and wanted to know, because inquiring minds want a yoke. When we think about a yoke, what was a yoke? A yoke is simply this. When he's talking about yoke of oxen, you know, many times we find out through the Bible that Jesus uses agriculture terms to explain things. And he uses this to explain to people. And because what they are in a agricultural society. So if you would take a look here at the screen, you'll find out here, this is a yoke. No, I love technology because then I can actually show you things. Here is a yoke. When you find a yoke was actually used to help oxen to ply the field. We know the oxen to be a beast of burden. The oxen are to be what? To be workhorses. And what they did is they did the work. They did the plow. And this is before they got John Deere and then John Deere tractors and Husqvarna tractors. You know, we didn't have tractors. So what they would do is they would take the oxen, they would take those beasts, and not only do they double for other things, but they would take them and they would make them work animals to help them ply the hard dirt that was in the fields so they can prepare. And if at this point in time, Christ has called us what? That we are laborers in Christ, that we do our work with Christ. So therefore what? We work, and he tells us what? To not use our yoke, but to take his yoke. So one thing you'll find about a yoke, that yokes are typically double yoked, that they do not just have one part. Their yokes are made typically to work in partnership. Are there individual yokes? Yes. But the individual by themselves do not get as much done. This is why I believe God has called us together as believers, that what we are to what? To work together to accomplish his work. I believe God, this is why God set up marriages and he set up relationships, that what? We don't get caught in something that we just doing things by ourselves. In fact, God has made us what? The bride of Christ. And since we are the bride of Christ, that one day we will be what? Reconciled unto him. And then we will be with him and we'll be in tandem and partnership with him. So the yoke is actually a farming apparatus. And here you hear he uses the yoke, and he tells us what? Do not be entangled with the yoke of bondage. That what? That bondage is a yoke. It's something that you are bound to. And I've already told you that if you're bound to it, that you're probably not bound to it by yourself. Now, what I'm saying here is this, that if you find yourself in bondage, I guarantee you that you're bonded to somebody else. When you stop and you reflect for a moment, I'm in this situation. How did I get here? Who did I hook up with? What spirit did I hook up with? What situation did I hook this yoke that I have? Because we all have a yoke. But what situation did I take and hook up to something that I should have been attached to, which now causes me uneasiness and does not allow me to rest? Let me let that sink in for a moment. So imagine, if you will, that you own a yoke. And I told you that yoke is typically what? They're in tandems. So every time and everything in your life, you are yoked to some particular situation, some particular circumstance, some particular person, some particular attitude, some particular belief system, some particular order of things. Now, when you think about it from this point of view, and you think about your life, and you think about the things that you've been going through, you think about the places and the situations that you've been in, how many of you know that you're yoked to some bad things? See, this is why he tells them in Galatians, he said, what? Don't be what? Entangled or in what? And yoked with that bondage again. Meaning that what? You are yoked. See, if you see that yoke, that picture I showed you, that was what? It's a lock at the top. Woo, come on, somebody. There's a lock at the top, and they lock it. Why? So that it would not come off. So that these beasts of burden do not leave this yoke. And the Bible tells us that what? We have a yoke, and he has a yoke. See, this is why he says in what? He said, take my yoke and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. So which tells me that if the burden is not easy, if the yoke that you're carrying is heavy, then what? It must not be his yoke, but it might be your yoke. You find yourself yoked and bind to what? Somebody else in some situation, some circumstance that you put all your trust and belief into your job. You put all your trust and belief into this husband or this situation or this circumstance. You put all your stuff in this, and he already told you, do not be unequally yoked. Oh, come on, somebody. So we find that a yoke by itself, what, it has double capacity. It does not work well on its own. It has to have at least two. The Bible said, well, there are two or three there, two or three in the midst, there he is. So we work in what? Tandem. That you must be working. He tells us number two, not to be what? Unequally yoked. What happens when you're unequally yoked? Number one, you stop carrying yo-yo. Your yoke is heavy. Your yoke got weight on it. Your yoke, you're carrying it by yourself. Can you imagine here for a moment, if you saw this yoke here with this animal, if you saw this here, can you imagine carrying that by yourself? See, the weight is uneven if you're carrying it by yourself. Oh, come on, somebody. See, some of you have been carrying uneven weights. See, the yoke is that yoke is heavy. Why? Because you got somebody on there who's not carrying their weight. Oh, and some of you, in some cases, you don't have anybody, and you're pulling that thing along. Can you imagine? Take one of those oxen off of that thing, and that thing being dragged through the ground, and you wonder, why is life so hard for me? Why? Because you're yoked to the wrong thing. And in some cases, some of you are not yoked to anything. And he tells you what? Take my yoke and learn of me. So what is God saying? He's saying that he's the other ox on the other side. See, if you yoke up with him, he says it's going to be easy. Why? Because what God does is he's so great and he's so kind and he's so wonderful that he carries your burdens and his own. Oh, come on, somebody. See, you do have a cross to carry. I read that what? In Matthew 16, it said that what? Take up your cross and walk. So you do have something to carry. There is work for you. There is labor for you. But he said that if you do it with me, he said that if you work with me, I'll make it easy and it'll be light. Yes, you have a burden. Yes, you have to carry your cross wall. Yes, you got your set of circumstances and stuff. But this Bible tells us this life is what? The days are short and that they are full of trouble. But he said that what? If you'll yoke up with me, if you'll take my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Tell somebody out there today, say, look, change the yoke. Change the yoke. Yoke up with the right one. Yoke up with him. Why? Because he said, if you yoke up with me, I've already told you that the yoke work in tandem. And see, because he's God and he's God alone, that way he can carry that by himself. But he's saying that yoke up with me. And if you yoke up with me, then what?
then you'll learn of me. Woo! Come on, somebody. Because then what happens is you'll learn when he say move, then you'll move. Can you imagine him looking at this yoke? And if there was one animal tried to go in a different direction, but when you're yoked with him, you can't turn off. Hey! All y'all with, woo! I'm going to feel this thing coming on this morning. And look, when you're yoked with him, you can't just turn off to the left or to the right, because that Holy Ghost in you will speak to you and say, nope, you can't go. You're going too far, sister. You're going too far, brother. You need to get out of that. That's not for you. That's not what I planned for you. That's not goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. That's not what I've called you to be. That's not what I've called you to be connected to. That means that what? You're out of sync with him. See, what happens is sometimes we unloose the yoke ourselves, and we yoke up with something else because we think we got a better way. We think we have a better understanding. We think we have a better situation. We think that we know better. Yet, but he told us what? Just bind up with me. Just yoke up with me, and I'm going to take you where? To rest. Come on, somebody. So many of us are walking around. You're carrying this yoke, and you're carrying this in tandem with what? A partner. Mm-hmm. Some of you, you're carrying it with partners and people who don't even care about you. They only care about what you can do for them. It ain't that they care about you. They care about the gift that you bring with you. Oh, come on, somebody. You got to be able to identify these people. Well, these are the same ones that we want to yoke up with, and what we spend all our time being uneasy and not being in rest. Why? Because I'm worried about how can I salvage this relationship when it was unequally yoked to begin with. He said, don't be unequally yoked with non-believers. He didn't see that there's a situation here. See, now notice this. I want to go back to that verse. I want to show you that again. Let me show you that again. 2 Corinthians, because I'm going to show you what it didn't say. Mm-hmm. Watch this. Are y'all getting anything out of this morning? Give me some feedback. Let me hear from you. Watch this. So he says this. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, it says, be not unequally yoked together with who? Unbelievers. See, some of you, when you get unyoked with an unbeliever, this is where the uneasiness comes in. So what is this? What it doesn't say is don't be unyoked with what? People who are believers. Why is this? Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, the reason I believe, and this is Ely 101, this is not, I don't have Bible or scripture or verse for this, so I always tell you this, for me being a researcher, this is what we do, so I had to clarify when it's my opinion versus what the Bible says. So I'm telling you, in my opinion, the reason he doesn't say this is because as believers, you have the opportunity to reach equalness. Did y'all catch that? That you have the opportunity to reach equalness. Meaning that what? As a believer, if you start out unequally yoked, meaning that if I have a believer who's connected with another believer, they might be a baby in Christ, but if they stay and they, what the Bible said, learn of me, yoke up with me and learn of me. So that means that what? In the beginning, yes, you may not be equal. You may not be carrying your weight. You may not be behind a little bit, but in time, if you learn of me, woo, come on, y'all. I'm preaching a lot better than y'all giving me some feedback. But if you learn of me, then there's an opportunity that I'm going to reach where you want me to be. But see, when you're an unbeliever, that's not even a what? A possibility. Because as an unbeliever, you don't have the capacity to reach equality with a believer. Oh, come on, somebody. Because what? The devil doesn't have the power that God has. And if the power of God is living inside of you, and if the power of God is taking you and keeping you, how can an unbeliever even come close to that? How can an unbeliever even be on the same platform? How can an unbeliever even reach the same status and the same level? I'm telling you that they can't. And this is why he says what? Here he said what? Be what? Don't be unequally yoked with what? Unbelievers. See, we often talk about that verse, but we don't talk about everything with it. Why? Because what? They cannot carry the yoke. Because some of the things that God is going to take you through, some of the things that you're going to go through, what? They can't go. They don't have the capacity to go. So you can't get mad with them because they don't have capacity. But we often pray and say this, like, God, enlarge my territory. God, enlarge my territory. So if what God is doing, he's constantly enlarging your territory. He's constantly making you better. He's constantly making you stronger. But the unbeliever, that situation that's not of God, does not have the capacity to catch up to you. This is why sometimes, I don't know about you, but maybe I can speak for myself. Have you ever been in a situation or a circumstance where you feel like you're carrying the weight? I'll let you think about that for a moment. Think about a time when you was in a situation or a work situation or a relationship situation where you just feel like, I'm carrying the weight of all of this. Why are you carrying the weight? Because you're unequally yoked. And if that person or that situation is not of God or they're not a believer, they do not have the capacity to carry the weight. And therefore, what? Now you're carrying weight that you were never designed to carry. And therefore, it makes you what? At a point that you can't rest. Because when you're walking with him, when you're walking with equally yoked, when you're not walking in the yoke of bondage, then what? There is equality. And because there's equality there, oh, come on, somebody, then you don't carry that weight. And it's not heavy. And this is why he tells us that what? In Matthew, that what? My burdens are light. How do you do this? You learn it from him. If you will connect your yoke to God's yoke, if you allow yourself to be connected to him, this is why it's important that we have the Holy Ghost. Because when we have the Holy Ghost, what, we connect to him. And when I connect to him, when I allow him to teach me his ways, when I allow him to give me his thoughts, when I allow him to give me his situation, what he does is he gives me rest. Woo! Maybe this ain't helping nobody today. Ain't nobody giving me any feedback. But I'm going to preach this thing under the glory anyway, because this is what God's given me. See, You want rest, but you don't want to change the yoke. You want the next level. You want what God has for you, but you want to do it your way. God said he has a way that you can't get around, you can't get under, but you must come in at what? At the door. He's the way, he's the truth, and the light. And the only way you're going to see Christ is through Jesus. But yet, you want to carry your own, and you wonder why you can't rest. You wonder why you don't sleep at night, because you're carrying somebody else's weight. You carrying a weight that was never designed for you to carry. You carrying a burden that was never designed for you to carry. See, it's one thing in the beginning. People see this and they, oh, yes, yes, I want rest. I want rest. But they don't want to do the work to get the rest. It means that there's some things I got to do. I got to get under this yoke. Because what? It's a decision you made. This is why we have to what? Rest as reflection. Think back. Think about the decisions that you made. You put that yoke around your neck. You put yourself in that bad marriage. You put yourself in that bad work environment. We have to take some accountability here. But I also know this, that we have a God who's merciful, who will what? Save that unsaved husband, who will save that unsaved wife, who will give you rest in that, who can change your work situation around and make you the head and not the tail. See, that's the kind of God we serve. When we decide that, Lord, I've done this, I didn't mess this up, but because I've messed this up, Lord, and I've lost my way, I've learned, Lord, I got to yoke up with you. And when I look up with you, what do? You teach me. Because the Bible says you learn of me. So what he does, he teach me how to navigate these bad situations. Because, see, we gotta remember, God has always given us free choice. And when I learn to navigate these things, and this burden, what I start to see is this. When God starts to work with me and I start to navigate these things, what I find is what? That my burdens get light. Woo! What I used to worry about, I don't worry about no more. How many of you know when you hooked up with God and you start being equally yoked and you hooked up with him, that all of a sudden, things you used to worry about, you don't worry about no more. You don't worry about those nasty people on the job. You don't worry about those nasty family members. God is giving you peace and joy in your own heart. If they don't ever invite you to the cookout, you just fine going over to Ruth Chris eating your steak by yourself. Why? Because God is giving you rest. He said, come and get rest, all of you that were heavy and laden burden. I know the burden's been heavy. Why has it been heavy? Because you've been carrying it by yourself. And you were never designed to carry that. Do you not know that God makes everything in this world in partnership with one another? Think about it. Let me help you reflect a little bit more, because there's rest in reflection. Yes, you see how far he's brought you over. Yes, you see where you've been. But things work in partnership. Plants are what?
They work in partnership. They're pollinated by other, by what? Insects, aka bees and all these kind of things. You and I, we cannot reproduce. Yeah, we can do stuff in the lab and they do it all the time, but we do not naturally reproduce without each other, man and woman. Mm-hmm. Seed and egg. I got a piece you need, you got a piece I need. And the only way they work is they come together and then what, they reproduce again. Animals work in tandem. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it'll be any different when it comes to Christ and us? This is why he said, take this yoke. I'm telling you that I'm going to carry most of this weight. I just need you to always see. Some of us, see, when we see that yoke of Christ, what we see is that burden. We say, oh my God, look how heavy that is. Lord, that's impossible. Lord, I cannot be perfect. He never asked you to be perfect. Lord, I'm going to mess this up. He never asked you to do that. What he said is what? Come just as you are. He knows that you're weak. He knows the areas that you're weak in. He knows where you're not strong at. All he asks you to do is what? Be willing to take the steps. We often say it here at this church, and this is our motto, that we walk by faith and not by sight. So walking by faith says, look, I know you don't see it and you're not there, but I'm telling you to hook up to my yoke. And in time, and if you stay with me, the Bible says like this, those who are what? Who reign with him, those who suffer with him for a little while should what? Reign with him. What's the suffering part? Me learning the yoke. Oh, come on, somebody. Because see, in that yoke, what happens is he's carrying the burden of that. And you know why? You know why it really gets light? Do you want the truth of the matter why it gets light? Because you're growing. See, as a believer, I don't know how many of you all have been growing through this pandemic, but through this pandemic, some of you have gotten closer to God. Some of you open your Bibles up. Some of you understand God on a new level. Some of you understand that, you know, I'm not going to be a slave to my job. I'm not going to be a slave to family members. I'm not going to be a slave to people who don't want me there. If they don't want me in this space, okay. The Bible says like this, if they don't want you there, dust your feet off and move on to the next town. For a prophet's without honor, except where? In his own hometown. So you've been burdening yourself, uneasy and rest. Can't rest. Why? Because you worried about this. And what you find is that through it all, God is what? Making you bigger. And as you get bigger, type this out. When you get, as you get bigger, what do you have a tendency to do? You get stronger. And as you get stronger, what's a sign of being stronger? That which was heavy, whoo, is not as heavy anymore. You see how God does this thing? See, he brings you to him. Oh my God, that was a word right there. Look, he brings you to him. You all weak. He carries that burden. He does. But what he does over time, as you learn of him, he learns and he turns the tension up a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And a little bit more. So I know some of you as believers, it seems like you've been going through hell and you've been going through things you've never been through before. Newsflash, you're correct. Why? Because you can handle it. And as you what, he put a little bit more on you, it strengthens you a little bit more. And the last time you thought that situation was going to break you, you know what? You're still here. And he puts on a little bit more. He said what? The Bible says like this, he will not give you any more than you can bear. He knows exactly. And see, but when you're walking around yoked with things that you shouldn't be yoked to, they don't know that. So they throw it all on you. And this is why you're burdened down. Why? Because it's not yours to carry. The Bible said, what? Take your own cross. We read that. And if you're carrying your own cross, don't let family members trip you into stuff that you know you can't do. Don't let them guilt you into things where you should have been here. But I won't. Don't let them do it. And then you sit at home and you can't rest at night because you couldn't do this and this and that and you couldn't do that. And then you wonder why you can't rest. He said what? Take my yoke and learn of me. For my yoke is easy. What you're going to learn is this. Don't get yourself in debt because now you can't go to sleep because you wonder how you're going to pay bills because you're trying to please everybody at Christmas. I sleep easy because I know my bills are paid. Yes, there are things I want to do, but sometimes I just can't do them, and I'm okay with that. They may not be okay with it,
But the peace of God surpasses all understanding. And when I'm laying there peacefully, yes, I might want to try to do it, and it just didn't work out. You go to bed and you rest well. And you reflect, it wasn't because I didn't want to, but I didn't have the capacity to. I didn't have the means to. And that's okay. I'm telling you, Pastor Ely's telling you, it's okay. You did what you could do when your mom was alive. You did what you could do when your dad was alive. You did what you did when you could do when your relative was alive. It's okay. Don't let that yoke of bondage come on you. See, what people do is they try to put their bondage on you because they didn't do what they supposed to do. They didn't go to the next level. Therefore, now because they are walking around in bondage, oh, didn't I just tell you all that the yoke is always looking for another person to bond with? So what they do is they're carrying around this burden that they have, and therefore here they come. Here comes sweet little Sherelle. Click. Now they bonded into you, and you wondering, why do I feel so bad after I talk to him? Why do I feel so bad after I talk to her? Because they just put their yoke on you. And this is why he reminds us in Galatians, do not be yoked with the bondage again, because he's freed you. Can you walk around and you say, why do I feel like this every time I talk to this person? Why? Because they're putting that yoke of bondage on you. Be ye free in the name of Jesus. Why do I feel, Sister Bam, it's because they put that yoke of bondage on you, and it's not yours. So if you stay yoked up to him, listen, if you stay yoked up to him, there's no room for you to yoke up to anything else. See, this is where we find ourselves sometimes. How do we end up getting yoked up to this? Because sometimes in our own way, our own choosing, we slip out. We slip out of that yoke for a moment. We slip out of that yoke a season. And because we unyoke, somebody's looking around. Ooh, 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 ooh. The Bible says like this, that he goes to what? The earth, the devil goes to earth to and fro, looking to who he can devour, right? That's what the devil do. And the Spirit of God looks at the earth to and fro, looking for what? Somebody to bless. So he's looking for somebody to bless. The devil's looking for somebody to hook up with. God is looking for somebody to hook up. Y'all know we use this term, hook up. It's true. You hooked up. But who do you hook up with? I'm telling you, to hook up with Christ, stay hooked up with him, and he'll give you rest. Because he won't put no more on you than you can bear. So you sleep well at night. You make better choices when it comes to your finances. Mm-hmm. You don't try to keep up with the Joneses. You stay in your lane. You happy for them when they get theirs, and you just as happy that you have what you have. Why? Because you understand your lane. You don't get jealous of people when God bless them and they get, because you understand your lane, because you know the hell that they've been through, because you've been carrying that yoke yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't do that. Why? Because you understand. And that's why you can sit back. You know, I tell my wife all the time, babe, it's a reason why I can drive that old car I drive. I understand that yoke of bondage of that car payment that I didn't want. Come on, can I be real today? I know I paid for a car for like 20 years. It was a yoke of bondage on my finances. I couldn't do things I wanted to do for my family because I had this car note that I've been paying on for almost 20 years from a bad decision. Oh, see, I told y'all, we can get ourselves in that. A bad decision that I made when I was in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. And I carried that for what? Years. I bought a car. I needed a car, paid too much for the car. The car went upside down. Oh, y'all know the story. And then I went, so okay, now I got to go trade the car in. So what do you have to do? The only way you can trade an upside down car in is what? Get a car that's worth even more than that. So now I'm getting in what? More debt. Oh, are y'all with me? Thank you, Sister Haywood, Brother Haywood. Hey, so then what? Now I'm even in more debt. Now my car payment's even bigger. So now I take that car. You know what I did? Then a couple of years later, I needed something else. What I do? Now I trade that in. And I get in even more debt. This thing is snowballing. So now, you talking about now I'm like 12, 14 years in. And you know what I had to decide to do? I had to put my foot down and say, you know what, no matter what, I'm going to pay for this. I'm going to pay for it. And it was a long process. So that's why I said I made a car payment for 20 years. Yes, I bought an Oldsmobile Alero in 2000. That was a 1999 that I did not pay for until about 2019. I kid you not. I can tell you if it's going to help somebody. So for years, I didn't get to do what I wanted to do with my family, or to be able to do that $300-$400 I wanted to spend with my children, or do something nice for my wife, or buy a bigger home for my family. I couldn't do it. That's why I had to wait. I had to learn that lesson. It was a yoke of bondage that I refused. You know, sometimes it's tempting. It is. Because some people will look back, well, he the pastor. He ought to have really a really nice car. Don't worry about it. It's coming. Maybe one of you all going to bless me with it. Oh, I, you know, I take all blessings. I know we have people who are means of wealth that listen to us. If God laid on their heart to send it to me, so be it. The blessings of God are yay and amen. Amen. And I would take it and kindly say, thank God for brother such and such, or sister such and such, or company such and such, for blessing the pastor with a car. I appreciate it. But until then, I work within my means. That's a yoke. Mm-hmm. I learn when to shut my mouth. Sometimes I'm still learning that yoke, y'all. Because sometimes I talk too much. Uh-huh. That's a yoke. Sometimes I learn things in my marriage that, you know what? It's a yoke that I'm carrying because I created it. Are y'all with me this morning? I'm trying to stop. I got to take my children to my parents' house. I'm trying to stop. But you see what I'm saying? I've been there. So things in my marriage, I pay for because I did it. So that's something that I know every time. We're talking about rest and reflection. I rest in the fact to know, you know what? I did it. And God, you know what? This thing called grace and mercy. So, yep, I did it, but thank you for your grace, Lord. Yep, I did it, but thank you for your mercy, oh God. Because it's his grace and mercy, according to Galatians, that do what? That frees us. So when my wife can hold my feet to the fire on something I said, and I don't follow through, that's grace. When God has allowed the government to start sending y'all some of these stimulus checks, and you have some bills, I hope that you use that mercy. Oh, come on. I hope you use that mercy properly. Mm-hmm. Because that was mercy. They didn't have to do that. When they told me that I had to make a student loan payment for another year and a half, that was mercy. Are you getting what I'm saying to you this morning? So I've been trying to use that to say, okay, how can I get ahead on this and get ahead on that? So now when this time comes, so when this thing come around and when that hammer come back down in September, that student loan payment, I'm in a better situation. Because now I pay that off, that's paid off, this all. And now what? I can take my kids to the zoo and not feel guilty about it and rest well to know that, whoo, I'm resting well because I'm tired because we fed them giraffes all week. And saw the smile on my kid's face. So, yes, I've been where you've been. I've gone where you've gone. And I'm here to tell you that this side is a lot better. If you learn from him, take my yoke and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. I learn rest as I reflect, looking back before you push forward. So I look back on those things that I did. And what do? They propel me forward. How? Because I do not do them again. Because he's saying, God, listen, do not be what? Yet entangled with the yoke of bondage again. I'm no longer bound. Woo! I don't know what else I can do. I don't know what else I can tell y'all. No longer bound. So how do you get rest? Rest. As we start part one of rest. Rest through reflection. Stop. Think about it. Look at all God has done for you. When you could have been cut off, when you should have been cut off, when things should have been going, when they should have cut your lights, when they should have came and got your car, when your marriage was done, when your children were sick, when they were painting out pink slips and you didn't get it, when you should have been fired for something that you knew you did, when you were stealing from the job and you should have been caught, mercy. So I reflect and I'm thinking, yeah, God. Thank you, God. I appreciate it, God. I'm grateful. This is why they'll tell you that we pray every single morning at 6 a.m. And we always start our prayer with what? Thanks. Because the Bible gives us what? The Lord, he said, remember the disciples asked God, how should they pray? And he gives them what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is really not the Lord's Prayer, but it's an outline for prayer. And the first thing he do is say what? Hallowed be thy name, right? Give thanks. So we always start out with thanks. I got to thank him. See, me as a dad, my children can get anything they want out of me. They know it, but they got to know how to approach me. And many of us, when we go to God, we don't even know how to approach him. We just go to God. God, I need this. God, I need that. You didn't even tell him thank you for what he done. Well, he ain't did nothing. Oh, you're alive, ain't you? Right? You got blood flowing through your veins. You ain't starving. All these things he done. Let's acknowledge him for that. See, my kids, when they come to me, they know how to get me. They be like, "Dad, you're such a good dad, and this, this, and that." And I'm like, okay. Now they're stroking my ego. But y'all don't think God got an ego. He says in the Bible that he's a jealous God. That's why there's nobody else. So I stroke my guy's ego. "Lord, you've been good to me. Lord, you kept me. Lord, you through that car accident. Lord, you kept me when I was over there in them strip clubs and I shouldn't have been over there. Lord, you kept me when I made dumb decisions, oh God. You kept me from being a father before my time, oh God. Oh, I can talk about me. God, you kept me, Lord Jesus, for this plane not falling out the sky when I thought it was going to go. Lord, you kept me, Lord Jesus, from being fired when I did something silly over here when I ran my mouth and I shouldn't have ran my mouth. Am I the only one this morning? To God be the glory." But what now as I look back in reflection, whoo, God, I'm thankful. When I should have been, your grace and your mercy. See, I told you, when you hooked up with him, he's not looking for perfection. You'll get that over time. This is why Paul talks about it's perfecting, right? It comes over time. You grow over time. You get there over time. This is why we grow in Christ. And this is why here in this ministry, we encourage you to grow. Rest as reflection. Look back or push forward. Look back and see what God has done. Find a moment today. Find a moment sometime this week. And just sit there and think of all the times could have been, should have been. The times that, you know, when you look at them now in hindsight, you know that there was your, you did that. But it was his grace, his mercy. And now you have rest. You sleep well at night. You say, "Oh, yeah, I did it, but God took care of it. Because now I'm yoked up with him, and I'm not going to be entangled with that yoke of bondage again." God bless you all. I love you all. I'm giving you all that I believe God has given me to give for you on today. I hope that this word was a tremendous blessing for you on today, that God shines down upon you, and that he continue to give you rest. I'm going to rest this month. I'm going to rest from this month going forward. I'm asking that you rest. Why? Because it's not ours to carry. And if we cook up with him, yes, there'll be some tension. He didn't say everything will be easy. There is labor in this thing. But he said what? That it will be light. What do you mean light? Light in consideration of what could be. See, the thing is, this thing that we carry, we say, "Oh, God, it's so heavy, it's so heavy." First of all, you got to examine, is it his? And if it is his, then you got to think about it. If this is light, imagine what full heavy is. Think about it, y'all. If this is light, imagine what heavy was. So if somebody tells you that this is light, and the Bible tells us this is light, just imagine for a moment. And what you're going through, and you know you hooked up with Christ, and you know you're following his commandments, you know you're living right as far as you can do it, and by his spirit, and that thing is heavy, I'm telling you, multiply that time a trillion, and that's probably what heavy is. Because he said your burdens will be what? Light. And he don't lie. Let's pray. Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. Lord, I just want to say I thank you. Lord, I thank you for this amazing word that you're giving your people today. As we walk into the month of rest, Lord, as we understand, Lord, you reflecting in our efforts and still trusting in you. Lord, you ask that you watch over your keepers, Lord. You ask that this word, Lord Jesus, be written upon the people's hearts, Lord Jesus, that they watch it again, Lord Jesus, they read it again, Lord Jesus, they hear, Lord Jesus, they see how you connect these things together, Lord, that the yoke is at what? The common denominator in all of these things. And you said to take your yoke and not to be yoked with unbelievers, Lord Jesus. To take your yoke, Lord Jesus, and not be entangled in the yoke of bondage again, Lord. And I thank you for that freedom, oh God, in you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, that freedom in you, Lord Jesus, to please you, Lord Jesus, to go forth with you, Lord, and to love on you. And Lord, we thank you, Lord. I ask you watching me keep, Lord. Give us traveling mercy, Lord Jesus. Take us up and down the dangerous highways. Let no hurt or danger come to us in any form or fashion, Lord. Watch me keep my children, oh God, while they're at the grandma's, Lord. Strengthen them and keep them. Bless them, oh God, like only you can. Lord, you ask that you touch any that may be sick among us, oh God. Did you touch them right now from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet? Strengthen them, oh God. Let them know, Lord, you, that you have us not be entangled with the yoke of bondage. Lord, and I thank you, Lord, and we love you, Lord, and we praise your name for that, Lord. And we ask you to do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus, for we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. I love you all. Hey, it's offering time here at the Safe House Church. If you would be so kind to be able to bless in offering, amen. You know, God has blessed you with a job, you know, that you owe him that 10th, amen. You can pay, you drop that 10th in here right now in the name of Jesus. We do a couple different ways. You can go
Cash App. Cash App is $SafeHouseChurchGS. Oh, you should see a little SH sign in the picture. Again, that's $SafeHouseChurchGSO. And or you can go PayPal. That's paypal.me/ministryaid. You should see the same logo. Again, that's paypal.me/ministryaid. Or you can go old school, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina. That's 27358. Again, that's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Make that check or money order payable to Finding Fish Ministries. Finding Fish Ministries. Amen. For God is good. Amen. God is good. God is good. God is good. Woo, y'all. See what happened when y'all let me go fishing? Y'all know that I enjoy actually chasing the little green fish. That's one of my things that I like to do and be competitive. I can't play basketball and stuff the way I want to. My body is so late. These grades on here are real. Amen. But, you know, when I do get the time just to get away, just me and him and just go, and God just lays these things on my heart. And I just believe what he's going to do the rest of this month is going to be even more powerful. Amen. God bless you all. Love you all. Hey, remember, we do go to our church website, www.safehousechurchgso.com. Come join us on prayer. We have daily prayer Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. We're there daily, 6 a.m., sometime past that, 601, 602. Every now and then, I do have a little technical hiccup, but I'm coming. Amen. I'm coming. Amen. But y'all know, God bless you all. I love you all. You all take care. Have an amazing, amazing rest of the week. Spend time with your family and get rest. Get physical rest. Get mental rest. And rest in him spiritually. God bless you all. Love you all. Don't forget, Wednesday nights, we have our Bible class right here. What we do, exactly what we do here. We go line by line, precept per precept. We in the book of Acts. Amen. And it's been a very powerful time in the book of Acts. So by all means here, you know, like I said, the gospel is free, but God's messages sometimes are not. He said he worth his hire, but God's message is always free. You all take care. Pray for me as I pray for you. I love you all. And remember, rest as reflection, looking back or push forward. God bless you all. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thinking about the world, looking at the nation. Suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind. Times are changing. Yeah. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctors, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles.
There's no faith, no trust in the word.
But everybody seems to be home stretching. It's just another word.